Mr. Pop.
That's always a tacky.
Oh, really?
This is Ruck and Roll, your weekly shot of sport and music with Kevin Hillier, Brian Mannix and Mark Fine.
G'day and welcome to another exciting, fun-filled and warped version of Ruck and Roll, the podcast. I'm Kevin Hillier, with me Brian Mannix and Mark Fine. Hello, boys. How are we?
Quiet. Well, I've got an announcement to make.
Oh, hello. Hang on, right off the bat. Here we go. It's an announcement from Mark Fine, owner of Lenny's Fine Foods.
It's with a deep heart, what's the expression? A heavy heart, mm-hmm. that I have to announce that this is my last podcast of Rock and Roll.
Mm. That I was wondering about Donald this.
This is my last ever podcast. I can't do the show anymore. So,
is this because of your your work with SEN? And they won't allow you to
no,
do
no,
it?
No. This is because
you just had a gutful.
No, I haven't finished what I'm saying. This is episode in which I allow myself to be shamed by Brian in the footy tipping. And I decided that this is the final episode in which I am going to give footy tips in a sane manner, trying to pick winners and get good value. I'm going to tip like Brian from now on. I'm going to get two bowls of dog food, one marked one team, one marked the other team, and let my fucking dog pick the fucking winners. I've been traumatised by a series of SMSs I've received from Brian over the weekend. And I now find myself, well, we'll get to it shortly, but I'm living in disgrace. You know, how can a footy journalist lose to Brian Mannix in footy tipping?
I'd like to know how the dog getting the food out of the two containers can be behind Brian, let alone you or me, Finey. Good God almighty.
Well, the octopus picked the 2006 World Cup winners. I don't think it's that silly at all.
Just before we started recording, Brian was telling us about how he lost his phone. I wish you'd lost the bloody thing over the weekend where you're texting Finey and I with all your bullshit about your footy tips. Found your phone, then you're pain in the ass.
Look, you've got to understand over the years in competitive stuff, you know, with artistic stuff I go right, but, you know, when it comes to sport and that, I just assume I'm going to lose. So when I do sort of have a good one, I kind of think, oh. And I'm doing exact opposite of what I told my son when he was a little kid. I said, look, it's fine to, you know, sledge somebody when you're losing. But if you're winning, you be magnanimous. Yeah. And you know, I taught him that when he was about 7 or 8.
Do you want to look that word up again in the dictionary?
Are the least magnanimous winner I have ever met
correct.
In my life.
You are the
equivalent of a jockey saluting the crowd at the post the first time around on the Melbourne Cup.
Yep, correct.
This race isn't over, mate.
Well, all I'm saying is it happens so rarely that I have a good week. I do get a little bit excited, so I do apologise. You know that I love you both.
Let's just point out this is at the end of round 5 of 24. Hello, 5 of 24.
Look, when we started this competition last year, I was winning for the first week.
Yeah, you did.
And then it went totally downhill, so I wouldn't expect anything different to
change. Well, in an amazing, I don't even know what horse has done anything like that. Which was the one that came from the last in the Melbourne? Was it R1? Came from last in the Melbourne Cup or Kiwi? Kiwi came from last in the Melbourne Cup and got up and won. Last week, Brian, you were something like 14 or 15 adrift from the
leader.
Yeah. Now you're in front.
Yeah, I thought I might be.
You've turned it into a 7-point lead.
Oh, fantastic. I love this competition.
So, we'll do the tips first, then we'll get to some of the other bits and pieces from around the place. We had round 5, and Brian got off to an absolute flyer, picking both Brisbane and Essendon in the first two games. So you were 13-0 against Finey and I by the end of Friday night.
I loved it.
And trust me, by the end of Friday night, I wasn't a very happy camper. And it had nothing to do with you. But anyway, then you continued on your winning way across the weekend, picking GWS, the Suns, Geelong, and West Coast.
Yeah, that was a good one to get, wasn't it? Am I the only person in Australia that picked West Coast?
Yeah, I don't think Adam Simpson probably even picked him in a specific competition. weren't Richmond awful, but geez, the Doggies were bad too. So you finished up after the weekend with 26, Brian. 26.
I worked it out as 27, Kev, but
hang on, 6, 7, 13, 15, 18, 19, 7 is 26.
My point for Geelong, though, Kev.
Yeah, I got that.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, God, you are a oh, God.
No, you got 6 for Brisbane, 7 for Essendon.
No, he got 26. Just get on with it.
Let me just have a look here. I'm going to just go do a little check on this.
I do a reckoning, eh? 6 for Brisbane, 7 for Essendon, 2 for GWS, 3 for the Suns, 1 for Geelong and 7 for West Coast. 26 in my book.
Well, I think West Coast should have paid at least 9.
It
but
was
anyway.
7. You don't get to change the figures because you win.
Oh, look.
I got 6. I got 6 for the whole weekend and finally got 7.
Oh, fantastic.
Finally got 7 and still beat me. Good God.
And, guys, this is because you've been out of the game too long.
No, you know? I went for the Hawks. That was a silly move on my behalf. I should have known better. Anyway, so the way that finished up after you being behind last week by 13, Brian, you are now in the lead with 100.
All right.
You brought the 100 up. Salute to raise the bat. Off you go. Go on. Do the right. Yeah, that's it. I'm on 93 and Finey's on 78.
I feel sick.
Yeah, I know.
I feel great.
I knew you would. I knew you wouldn't take this well, Finey. I was totally convinced of that when I did the tally on the figures today. I went, oh, Jesus, Finey's not going to enjoy this. So we go to round 6 of 24, Brian. For this week, we have Melbourne and Richmond having a bye, though I think Richmond might have had one this week already, with Brian on 100, Kev on 93, and Finey on 78. So let's sail into the tips straight away, then we'll come back and talk.
I've got this already sussed out this week.
And this week is a far more, they're far harder games to pick, I reckon.
Nah, they're easy.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yep, easy for me.
Okay, Brian, we'll go through yours first and then Finey and I'll do ours. It's St Kilda and the Bulldogs to start the round off, Finey. I think I can pretty much put down the fact that I'll be going for the Bulldogs and you'll be going for St Kilda.
Yep.
What are the points?
Well, I'm about to tell you, Brian, because you're the only one making a decision based on not the team you barrack for. So it's 5. Ooh. You get 5 for the Doggies and 5 for St Kilda, which I think is a very fair call on this game. Neither team is setting the world on fire by any stretch of the imagination. So you get 5, Brian. Who are you tipping?
I'm going for the Dogs this week. They'll be a little bit humiliated after last week.
A little bit. They should be a lot humiliated.
Well, yeah. But Dogs for me.
Now, Brian, I mean this. You know, this is this wonderful staying. With all due respect, Brian, which means I have absolutely none.
Okay, I appreciate that.
No, the team that ran out on the ground for you on Friday night or whenever it was,
who the hell were they?
Should not have on paper beaten that Bulldogs team that ran out onto the ground, but you did, and you did it handsomely, and you did it well, and the Bulldogs should be absolutely. Doing the most incredible amount of soul searching they've done in a long time, because that is a totally unacceptable performance that they dished up on the weekend.
Well, we had a totally unacceptable performance against Port Adelaide the week before.
Yep.
So that's part of the reason why I'm picking Bulldogs this week. I think, you know, Saints, gee whiz, to lose by 1 point. Wow. Anyway, so yeah, Dogs for me.
Okay. Adelaide and Essendon on Friday night at Adelaide Oval. Adelaide will get you 4. The Bombers will get you 6, Brian.
Oh, it's a piece of piss. Give me the 6.
Give you the 6 for that. Finally, Adelaide 4, Essendon 6. Who are you going for? I'm not convinced the Bombers are any good. I'm going Adelaide.
I'm going Adelaide.
Okay.
Oh, the lead's just going to grow.
Saturday's games, and there are four of them. Collingwood take on Port Adelaide at the MCG at 1:45 on Saturday afternoon. Collingwood will get you four. Port will get you six. Gee, this is a hard game to pick. Brian, you're the current leader on the board there. Give us an indication.
I'm going for the 6 points. Collingwood are up and down. I don't know what's going on with them, but no, I think Port will do the job. And for 6 points, if it was 5 and 5, I'd be flipping a coin. But six, nah, too easy.
I'm going Collingwood, sticking with them. Finey?
Oh,
Collingwood.
Oh, well, you both got 6 and 7 last week. You know, trust your instincts.
Oh. You want to look magnanimous up in the dictionary again, Brian? Clearly the meaning for it has changed in the 12 years since you talked to Max about it.
Look, the game is still on, so the sledging continues. At the end of the competition, that's the time to be magnanimous.
Oh, okay. That's when you do it. Carlton, the Filth, take on GWS at Marvel Stadium on Saturday afternoon. Slight hiccup there for the Filth. Now, they'll get you four. GWS will get you six, and I'm having a piece of that six because I think they will beat Carlton, GWS. Mr. Fine.
I'm going Carlton.
Carlton. Mr. Mannix.
Well, I was disappointed with Carlton last week. Mike Walsh was their best player. Sam and Harry didn't do much. So I'm sticking with – I think this is a great round because all of the ones I would have backed have got odds on. So GWS for six, not a problem.
It's a good round of footy, actually. St Kilda and the
Port
Dockers.
Adelaide. What am I backing on?
Yeah, Carlton and GWS.
Yeah, GWS, yeah. Shit it in.
It's a good round of footy. St Kilda and Bulldogs, good even
flip
game. Adelaide and Essendon, good even game again. Collingwood and Port Adelaide, two good sides. Carlton and GWS, two final sides you would think on present form. And Brisbane and Geelong is the next game at the Gabba on Saturday night. Brisbane gets you four, Brian. Geelong gets you six.
Give me six, Kev.
Going for the Cats.
Yep.
Finey, I'm actually going for the Cats as well, not because you are, Brian. Finey? No.
Brisbane.
I did look very good, Brisbane, I must admit.
You're a week late, Finey.
West Coast take on...
So far, I've picked everyone different to Brian.
Yes, you have.
It'll make or break it.
Well, it's only round 6 of 24, Brian.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
like the Melbourne 50. Cup, 2,400 metres, 2,400, if you want to equate it to that, this is
the 3,200 metres.
Oh, sorry, it is. That's right, it is too. Sorry. Yeah. I don't even know why I brought that up. Anyway, West Coast Eagles play Frio on Saturday night at Optus Stadium. So the two tenants of the stadium will meet against each other. West Coast will get you seven coming off a win, and Frio will get you three coming off a loss. Mm. Ryan.
The only underdog I'm picking this week, favourite I'm picking this week is Frio. The rest I'm going for all the underdogs.
Yeah, I think West Coast.
Because I think it's really close this week and to get six and, yeah, so Frio, I was reluctant, but Frio for three is fine for me.
Yep. Finey, West Coast, does the seven dangle you or not?
No.
No, go Frio. It's the one that you and Brian are staying the same on. Good game on Sunday.
What are you going for?
Frio. Yeah, I don't think the Eagles will bat up twice in a row. The one I'm agonising over, I must admit, is Brisbane and Geelong. I'm still – anyway, I'll stick with Geelong. Sydney and Gold Coast Suns on Sunday afternoon at the SCG at 1 o'clock. The assuming it's rigged will get you three, Brian. The Gold Coast Suns will get you seven.
The Gold Coast Suns,
your boys,
they're gonna come in and do this because there's a reason. I can't remember what it is. Somebody told me there was a reason. They're a Gold Coast fan, but they stack up pretty good against Sydney in the past, even though when they've been shit. So no, I think Gold Coast for seven is a great
Gold Coast
great
for seven
result.
is a very big one. I'm going Sydney for the three. I think they're a good side, Sydney. I think they've got some class. I think they'll. I'll be good again this week at home. Viney, at home, Sydney?
Yeah, I'll take Sydney.
And the final game of the round, because as I said, Melbourne and Richmond have byes. North Melbourne are at home at Marvel Stadium Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. The Hawks, North Melbourne 6, Hawthorn 4, Brian.
Give me 6. Go the Kangaroos.
North Melbourne. I thought North Melbourne, I saw bits and pieces of that game. What I saw, it was like watching the under-12s playing the under-18s. They were not very good. I'll gladly go Hawthorn, even though they lost last week. Finding?
I'll take Hawthorn.
Hawthorn. All right. So you everything different for you two right up until we get to the Freo game, and then that is the only game that you are in the same ballpark with.
All right, I'm going to pick 8 winners this week and fucking humiliate.
Or you're going to go even
He's doing
further.
A good job on his own, Finey. I don't think he needs your help.
It'll be interesting.
Yep. What was the wash-up for you from the weekend's footy, Finey? You obviously had a, you would have had a lot of whinging Bulldog supporters on the phone on Friday night, I would have imagined. God.
They were the big story.
And by the time
how about that rubbish with Liberatore? When they said it was his ankle. I mean, how stupid do they think the football public is?
I would say pretty stupid, because it looked to me like no one was going to do anything about anything until such time as the media made a big thing about it and said, "Well, he's fallen over. You need to check him again." They checked him, and he passed the protocols, and then allegedly they voluntarily put him in the protocols for concussion.
Yeah, he's not playing this week.
No, he's not playing Thursday.
No. So
does that mean that the protocols are crap and that you can 99.9% of other medical tests, you can find Lance Armstrong, you can find a way around them?
Yeah, it does, but I guess it's such a serious issue. They were probably pressured into putting him into protocols.
So Sam Taylor is a cut and dried case. Bloke gets KO'd. He's gone. Liberatore doesn't. I mean the stringer tackle was a beauty. I have to admit he lined him up fair and square and he got him. Now whether it was a result of that or something else that happened early that we didn't pay any attention to, but he clearly was. You don't just fall over in the middle of the ground. Unless there's something wrong with you. But then he passes the test. Someone's got to forget about whether it's who it is, but someone's got to ask the question about if these protocols aren't right, surely someone in the AFL who's got, the stack of concussion cases that they're going to be hearing for the next 50 years is going, hang on a minute, boys, we might need to make these tests a bit more stringent.
Yeah, look, if a guy collapses in the middle of the ground, you got to err on the side of safety and common sense and say that he's got to come under the protocols. And that's what's happened. So on we play. I mean, the other takeaway for me from the weekend is how even the competition is. Adelaide beat Carlton, St Kilda with 8 first 22 players out, run GWS to a point, except probably for Hawthorn, North Melbourne and West Coast, now maybe Richmond, the other 14 teams can all beat each other on any given day.
Yep, I think that's a fair call. And the others will bob up and beat someone when you least expect them to do it.
Yeah,
and you can be sure that I'll take the 7 points when they do.
is that right, Captain Smiley Guts?
Look, it's only going to be a fleeting moment. I'm going to enjoy it.
Yes, well, so you should. If you're a Tigers supporter, would you be concerned finding that it is going to be a miserable year for Richmond?
Look, they were always going to struggle this year. The premiership year is over. They've lost senior players. They've got some aging players, but they've also been hit very hard by injury. So, it's bad, but it's not as bad as it looks. Their two key forwards are out. Lynch and Bolter. Taranto's out now. And they've got a number of players not playing. So you just can't cover that when you're a team that's on the rebuild. It's as simple as that. Injuries play a big part in the fortunes of your team. So they're just going to have to suck it and see. And if I'm a Richmond supporter, I'd be watching a lot of the three premierships because it's going to be recent history. Recent history is going to be far more enjoyable than the immediate future.
If you're a Bulldog supporter, hello, would you be concerned, Finey? Are you thinking that it might be a year? Because there was a couple of the so-called experts were saying before that game on the weekend that probably those two teams, the Bulldogs and Essendon, one of them will make the finals and one of them won't. Maybe the one that won on Friday night will be the one that makes the final. Maybe the other one won't. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think either of them will, but for me, you ever been in the kitchen and you're making something, a stew or and it's good and you just keep dicking around with it. You just keep adding stuff and changing stuff, and putting stuff in and cooking it longer and he's just stuffing around with that team beverage. I mean, he moves too many players into odd positions. That side's not right. I mean, there's no way seriously. I mean, what's Oscar Baker and Lachie Bramble doing in the team ahead of Caleb Daniel? He should have deferred to his best players at the start of the season, not put McRae in the VFL, not put Daniel in the VFL. Now, if those guys didn't cut the mustard, then you could put pressure on them with some of the fringe players. But he went straight to the fringe players, and he's got some players that are playing terribly given their ability. I mean, Bailey Dale is sub in that team? Seriously.
Yeah, I agree. And make a suggestion. Could they, you know, when they hold those signs up on the boundary, it's absolutely pointless. The most pointless exercise in football, those signs.
Yeah. Up to 2024. I was worried about that too. I'm thinking, what's this got to do with football?
Well, because no player looks at the bench at any stage. Every player is looking at the big screen. Put the signs up on the big screen where they're looking.
Yeah, I mean, that's stupid. What does a monkey eating a banana mean?
Well, the Bulldogs, with about 5 minutes to go in that game on Friday night, held up a dice.
Yeah.
Now, surely to God, if you have to tell the players on the ground, roll the dice, and if that's what that sign means, then it's a sorry coaching panel. B, it's a sorry leadership panel.
But that's not what the sign meant.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, what's the name of the dice game at the casino?
Craps.
Correct. It meant we're crap.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it was more a signal for the crowd than it was who'd already, you know, worked
that
out.
I think if they are, you know, I agree with Finey, but if your premise is correct, Kev, roll the dice, well, that just says to me, you're overcoached, it's not working. Go for it. And you probably should let them do. Remember when Paul Roos took over Sydney and you said, look, guys, don't be afraid to make a mistake. Just go and enjoy your footy. And they became a good team. And I think, you know, we've spoken about this before, they're overcoaching and shit. So if you're going, oh, go for it now, it's like, you know, that's too late, too little, too late.
And that, you know, St Kilda put a similar sign up when they were 5 goals down, 2 testicles.
Grow a pair.
No, just go balls out for the last 15 minutes.
Well, yeah, I just think that is preposterous. That the two minute warning and stuff they hold up and all that sort of stuff. That I can see some sense in that, but holding up signs with images on them of whatever, monkey and a banana or a dice or, you know, a bow and arrow, whatever it is, it's just bloody ridiculous.
I mean, the most ridiculous one I've seen this season was a picture of an umpire and a bowl of spaghetti carbonara.
And what was that for?
Well, I think the coach wanted the players to stop playing and have an Italian meal with one of the umpires. I don't know.
Speaking of umpires, is the goal umpires, I'm sorry, I thought at some stage it would get better. I thought at some stage they would stop the reviews and go, okay, fair enough, we'll just do it. And if it's wrong, it'll get picked up in the 30 seconds between when the ball, you know, goes over the line and goes back to the centre square. But it's just getting worse.
It's a joke. It's an absolute joke.
I feel sorry for them because they've been told to review everything.
Yeah, it's just a joke. Use the 30 seconds when the ball goes back to the centre to review it. But some of them are just ridiculous.
And to hear
the umpires, the goal umpires, just to hear the goal umpires talk to the umpire, it's embarrassing. I think the ball went through the middle, but I just want to check if my fly was undone. I mean, it's just stupid.
It's the equivalent of look, I'm pretty sure it was a goal, but can you roll the tape back and see if my bum looks big in these pants?
But of all of the shit that they've reviewed, they reviewed nearly everything. And last week when Freo was playing Carlton, it was clearly touched. And so it wasn't a goal. And then Freo complains about it, then they get another goal. Now, that was the time to use the video replay thing, and they didn't do it. They're fair dinkum dickheads. And I mean that in a positive, constructive way.
I'd love to know from a goal umpire if they actually have been instructed, as I've read in the press during the week, by the AFL to not make a mistake based on the one that you talked about the other week, finally, that happened at the Crows.
The end of last year, Ben Keyes.
Yeah, last year,
In soccer, it's done far more professionally. If the ball's over the line in a close goal decision, I mean, they sort of play on and then something vibrates in the referee's pants. So not only does the referee find out that it's a goal, but the game goes on. But it's very enjoyable for the referee. It's fun.
He's been overruled.
This is one of the.
But that's true. That's how it works. There's a little vibrating thing goes off.
Off his leg.
But this is one of the stupid things about AFL. You blow the whistle and then you say advantage. Now, in soccer, they just let it play out, and if there is no advantage, then they blow the whistle. It's confusing for the players, I think, and it makes more sense to let it go on and then go, no, there wasn't advantage, let's bring it back here. And this other stupid thing that the AFL does, whereas they point to the area when it's a free kick, so they point to the area you're not kicking to indicate which team is there, but they're all spread out of the game. So it's not like rugby or soccer where you start on one side, so it's this team's. It should indicate, they should be pointing, this is where the ball will be going, as opposed to, okay, Essendon are kicking south, so we point north to indicate that they've got the ball. It's just freaking, what are you, freaking stupid or on drugs? It makes no fucking sense at all.
Yeah.
Point to where the ball will be travelling next. You know, that's who's got the thing. But to point backwards, like for a Storm or something, yeah, sure, point backwards. The team on this side of the ground, they're getting the free kick. But we're all over the ground. It's bullshit. And another one of those, you know, we changed so many traditions of the game for the sake of making money and making kids play it, but we keep this bullshit, which is like, let's point in the opposite direction to where the ball will be travelling, and then you know where the free kick is. I can't get my head around that.
Okay.
Well, you should, because it's been like that forever. So.
I was going to say, you want it changed because you think it's a silly way that they do it.
Well, if you're going to change as many rules and traditions of this game as we have, that's an obvious one to me. You know, like we don't bounce the ball hardly anymore. There's so many things. We're not allowed to bump. We're not allowed to do this. We devalue the game and its credibility for the sake of money and shit. And okay, if you're going to change the rules, KB and all your thing, I know KB's not there anymore, and I'm, I hope he's getting over to Nice. But it's just stupid. And, you know, for people trying to watch the game, they go, what the hell, you know, for people that don't understand the game, what the hell's going on here? I think it's ridiculous. And if that would be the first thing I would change, okay. I'd stick the umpires back in white.
Okay. Fair enough. Written, spoken, yeah. Authorised by Brian Mannix, who currently leads the Lenny's Fine Foods footy tipping competition.
Mr. Football. and I've heard that this year it's a different prize.
Oh.
Well, the $50,000 that Finey won last year, it's not as good this year, but it is a barramundi and yellowfin that he's caught, and he's just leaving it in his backyard ready for the winner to pick up at the end of the
season. There you go. There you go.
He's put it in the pool at the old house, and they're looking after it for
yeah.
it.
It's, yeah, but it's a chlorine pool. I don't know what they're going to. These fish are going to.
Okay,
be
well,
like
you know, it'll be good for your teeth. The the fish will be good for your teeth when you eat them.
Good.
That's how it works, isn't it? Now, Hall of Fame, Jason Dunstall will be elevated into the legend status of the Football Hall of Fame. It's not the AFL Hall of Fame. It's the Football Hall of Fame, Australian Football Correct. Hall of Fame.
Yep.
That's a, I would have thought, a very deserving inclusion.
No-brainer.
Yep.
I agree,
but
I think it's ridiculous. He's picked up a TV Logie and an ARIA award in the same week. I think that's crazy.
He didn't pick up a King of Pop award, did he?
No, they lost the crown.
Oh, good. If he'd picked up a King of Pop award, I was going to say he might have knocked it off from my house. Because I got robbed.
Did you have really? A King of Pop award?
I got robbed.
You should have won a King.
No, my house got robbed.
But you had a King of Pop award
stolen. I got two and one got stolen on last weekend.
Why did you get a King of Pop award? Is this why you were so sad last week?
Most popular DJ in Queensland, you buffhead. They used to have that.
Well, you wouldn't tell us last week. It was too close to you last
I said
week.
It, well, yeah. Well, like you said, it wasn't funny last week, and it wasn't. It's not particularly funny now, to tell you the honest truth. Anyway.
It'll be funny in another 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. So probably.
I'll get a lot out of that.
Yeah, in a couple of weeks' time.
Why did you take it, Brian?
Because he never got
it. Well, I just felt that Kev should be stripped of the award after some of his behaviour with that Sheargold bloke at the grand final, I think, Marty Sheargold, I thought it had to be taken away from him. It had to be.
Actually, we'll be having that conversation in a couple of minutes, not about but about stripping people of awards, because it's a very interesting one, which will come up shortly. So Jason Dunstall into the Hall of Fame, the legendary status into the Hall of Fame. So that's and the rest will be revealed on the night or leading up to the night. I think there's a. Do they have a set number? There's only one legend, isn't there? And then they'll put a couple more in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Is that your dog sleeping behind you?
Me.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. That's young Benjamin.
I thought it was just Ken with half a mongrel.
Yeah, can you tell him to roll over? I can see his lipstick.
That's one of his more sedate poses too. He's a typical Kelpie. He sleeps like very promiscuously, I must say, my dog. What else did I want to? Oh, Melbourne Storm, another fabulous win by them on the weekend.
Top of the table.
God, they're
top
good.
Of the table.
They're so great. Good to watch.
They're great.
They are just so good to watch. I watched it back after the debacle that was the Bulldogs game, and at least gave me something to smile about.
Yep, and you would have had a lot of fun watching Tottenham.
Oh God, my son and I, 9:30 on Saturday night. I thought, you beauty. So we sat there, and Hayden's got his Spurs scarf on, and we're all ready to go and everything. They were I thought the Bulldogs had been a rabble. Well, Tottenham were an even bigger rabble. 4-0, they got flogged by Newcastle. Blinked and they were 2-0 down. It was like it was just abysmal. And Yelmov got beaten too, didn't they? 2-0?
Yeah, 2-0 by Fulham. We were hopeless.
Yep. Yep.
How did Liverpool go?
They got beaten.
Yeah, they did.
At home to Crystal Palace.
Was it? Yeah,
oh,
Palace.
Gee, right. You're kidding. No, that's rubbish.
It was all right. It was a weekend of quite stunning results all around the EPL.
My Gold Coast equivalent of Premier League is Bournemouth. How did they go?
I'd have to have a look, to be honest, Brian. See Bournemouth. Let me go into the results of the EPL here. I'll just bring it up.
All right.
Bournemouth. Drew with Manchester United 2-2.
Oh, geez, that's not bad. Yeah. Bournemouth.
I think they were 2-0 up.
Well, you know, they're from a team that came from third division or whatever, and they holding their own in the Premier League.
How about that other in the lower divisions? Wrexham are going up again.
Oh, look, they haven't even shown the series of the new one, but Wrexham, we love Wrexham.
Yeah, and they're going up again,
They're going to have as big a brand as Manchester United. That even when they leave, because I think they're buying an ice hockey team, I think you might have told me or Finey told us, they're branching into that next. But that team is just on the map worldwide now. You know, this shitty little thing. That's what's so good. That's why I like Bournemouth. But Wrexham, I haven't even seen the series for this season yet.
No, they haven't done it, but they're obviously going to do it. But no, they automatic, they're going up.
So now they're in third division, is that right, or second division?
Third.
Yeah, third.
League One, which is the third tier.
Yep. So they're going exceptionally well. That's the first time, I think, in their history they've gone up in consecutive seasons. So it's a great story. It's a great story.
You watch the show?
Yeah, absolutely. I love the two blokes. I don't think I've ever seen either of them in an actual Hollywood movie or a TV series. But I love. He's in Deadpool, isn't he?
He's Deadpool. He's really great.
Yeah, he's
and the
good.
Other guy,
he's funny.
I've seen him in a sitcom. But it just means so much to the
Who's
locals.
That, Ryan Gosling?
Yeah.
No, Rob.
Ryan, the Deadpool guy. It might be Ryan Gosling. There's
no,
two
it's not
Ryan,
Gosling.
So
it's not Gosling.
Ryan Reynolds.
That's it. And the other one's Rob McElhenney or whatever it is.
Yeah.
They're great. I like them.
Yeah, and, you know, the little stories they have on the way was this bloke, he's just a freaking pisshead and he's, you know, he just loves the team and he's a disgrace. Yep. And then halfway through the second season, somebody got into him and said, no, come on, clean up your act. And
he was the one who gave up the booze. Yes, yes, yes.
He gave up the booze and he's trying to reconnect with his kids and family.
Yep.
So it's a beautiful little subtext there, but just watching those people be so proud and happy, it's just fantastic. I love Wrexham.
Yeah, it's good. So they're going up again. So they've done very well.
Oh, getting a stiffy.
Well, when you bring it back to Australian, the game in this country, we've got to have relegation and promotion in this country and the big otherwise teams just get away with being mediocre and not having to be accountable for their success or failure. So we need
it's
it.
Great.
We need it here.
You're great when you see an underdog win. And was it – when did the Dogs win the flag, Kev?
2016, same year that Leicester won the
– Leicester won. It was the year of the underdogs. Yeah, and
it was good.
Yeah, fantastic.
All right. That's about all the news I've got around for – Yeah, that's about it. So anyone else got anything you want to bring up before we get Brian to open up the time-honoured Deathalyzer?
The Masters, Scotty Scheffler.
Oh, shoot, yes, that's on my other piece of paper. That's why I didn't see it. Yeah, terrific effort. And I think we had five Aussies in the top 30.
Yeah, Aussies did well.
Yeah. So Smith did well, Davis did well. Jason Day even made the top 30. Adam Scott went well.
It was good.
Yeah, it was a very good. He's an exceptionally good golfer, Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah, looks like he's boring as batshit, but anyhow.
Yeah, and Tiger made the cut for a record time. There's no one's ever done as many times as him, so that's a pretty good
shot. Then shot an 82.
Yeah. But, you know, to be honest, I think he's on half a leg and about a quarter of a back.
Yeah, no, he did well.
Yeah, he is. When you see the for the show, I saw a clip today on social media of him shot in his first Masters and a shot in his last Masters, and the difference in his body is just unbelievable.
Yep,
it's been through hell. All right, Brian. You know, we thought it's time for.
He's been through more than hell.
Brian has.
Tiger.
He's been through plenty.
Yes. Yes. All right, Brian.
Just when you thought it was safe, it's time once again for this week's blockbuster edition of The Death Eliza. It wasn't me.
Right. Eleanor Coppola passed away at the age of 87, was married, obviously, to Francis Ford Coppola, the mother of Giancarlo, Sophia Coppola, the director, and Roman Coppola. She herself did some terrific work. She did the documentary about Francis making Apocalypse Now called Heart of Darkness.
Good movie, good documentary. Yeah,
exceptionally good documentary. And she's written books and she did a whole lot of producing things and directing things. So Eleanor Coppola, at the age of 87, passed away.
God bless you.
Now, this is the one I was going to say was controversial. O.J. Yeah. Simpson passed away at the age of 76.
The juice.
Now, I did a bit of reading on this today because based on what was on the front pages of the Herald Sun over the weekend – regarding an Australian rules player and a Hall of Fame inductee. And the way it works in this country, I was interested to see whether the juice was still in the NFL Hall of Fame. And he is. And he will always be in the NFL Hall of Fame, regardless of whatever comes out. Now, in the future, or in the past, or whatever, once you're in the NFL Hall of Fame, and he's also in the Heisman Trophy. He won the Heisman Trophy as the best college player. Once they make a bust of you, which they do for everyone who goes into the Hall of Fame and everyone who wins a Heisman Trophy, once that's done, once elected, you are never removed.
I think that's good
because they make there is nothing in their bylaws that allows someone to be taken out of the Hall of Fame. It's based entirely on your football career and nothing else. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you do. You could be a serial killer. You could be a mass murderer. Once you're in the NFL Hall of Fame, and I'm assuming that baseball and I guess basketball and all their sports over there have the same criteria. Once you're in,
I'm not sure if that's right. I think Pete Rose got removed from their Hall of Fame in baseball.
That was baseball, so that's baseball. But the NFL one, I was reading about the NFL one today, and you're never to be removed. Baseball might be different. Basketball could be different. You're right about Pete Rose. He was because of gambling, wasn't it?
Yep.
I watched a documentary on – I've watched a few on OJ, and same as when I watched Kris Jenner – and I had no idea how good these athletes were. But OJ, the whole game plan was give the ball to OJ. And it just, I've never seen any NFL player play like him. And so I can totally understand why he was so popular. He was amazing. He was a good actor and, he had a short fight with prostate cancer, but is Bill Cosby's work still funny? Yes, it is. The guy went off the rails. Nobody said no to him, but you can't deny his sporting achievements. And I think in Towering Inferno, I think he was about the first black bloke we'd seen given a job of responsibility. So he broke down a lot of walls. The court of law decided that he didn't do it. And then a civil court decided that he owed $300 million. And, I think he probably was guilty as hell. But I don't think that takes away from his sporting achievements or the enjoyment he gave a lot of people. Remember when he ran out at the 1984 Los Angeles Games, he was the bloke that did the last leg. And, you know, everybody was rapt. It's OJ, yay! OJ made a lot of people happy. And
so there's a for Americans, there's a definite in football anyway, a demarcation between your football career and what you do afterwards. And they say, okay.
And I go with that too. It's sort of like, okay, the guy made a disgrace of himself towards the end of his life, if he did it, which it seems he did. But you can't take away from his sporting achievements. It's like saying, John Lennon, he stabbed somebody, but so now all his music's shit. Well, I would be disappointed if John Lennon had done that, but his music's still great. So, and his sporting achievements, I think, were still great.
I must admit, it surprises me that that's the case in the world that we live in now, that he's still in the Hall of Fame. I must admit that I was surprised when I read that nothing gets you taken out of the NFL Hall of Fame.
Well, he was a narcissistic, insane, jealous, psychopathic double murderer. As far as I'm concerned, he should be banished from the pages of history, but anyway.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, look, I totally understand your point of view, but if you're just judging the man on his sporting achievements, what happened after that, I don't know that that's relevant, is it? You know, like, do we take the Grammy off a guy that, you know, OD'd on smack or something? I don't know. It's a bit of a curly one, but
you know what I find hard?
Yeah, your cock.
Oh, God.
That's how we got tacky.
Oh, really?
All right, so you know what I find difficult? One of the most repugnant people on earth is Gary Glitter. Mm. But I loved his music.
Yeah.
And I still listen to it occasionally.
Yeah, it's great. Jerry Seinfeld said the same thing about Bill Cosby. And, there are people that have, if you're out in the public spotlight, but most of your life you've done things right and you've made people happy and that.
Well, Gary Glitter didn't. The thing with Gary Glitter is I can listen to his music and not see him and there's a disconnect for me.
Yeah.
Where guys or women or whoever that you've got to watch on TV, I couldn't watch him, Gary Glitter, but I can listen to him. I know it's weird, but,
yeah,
you know.
No, well, there's a connect. That's part of the connection that you have with someone in that.
But I think if you watch highlights of O.J. Simpson playing NFL, you can't deny that, you know, I'm not a big NFL fan, but I was just watching it and going, my God, this guy's, he's like nobody else. He's Jesus on the field.
He's very good. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, better than anybody I've ever seen.
The records he set, in NFL for the yards, he was running 2,000 yards when they were only playing 12 or 13 or 14 games or whatever it was in a season. Now they play a lot more games and running backs don't get the kind of figures that he. So he was a generational player. There's no doubt about that. But, yeah, just I always find it interesting when that conversation comes up and when we've had what we had over the weekend through our papers with Carl Dietrich. It's an interesting conversation to have.
What happened with Carl Dietrich?
I don't want to go into it. Don't really want to go into it. Do you, Fonny?
Okay. No, I'll look it up.
I mean, there's a court case pending.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. So let that go. Read about it, Brian, and we can talk about it. And the other one I wanted to mention in the Death Eliza was very sad. Nathan Templeton passed away at the age of 44. Channel 7 and Channel 10 reporter with Sunrise, did the Olympics. Was a well-known MC for the Geelong Footy Club, their match day MC. And I had a little tiny weeny bit interviewed him a couple of years ago for a thing from a Geelong radio show, and unfortunately, he passed away last week at the age of 44.
Just, that sucks.
Just bloody terrible
and shocking.
Yeah, yeah.
Do we know how he passed away?
He had a medical episode when he was walking his dog along the Barwon River. That's all the information that I know about it. Brian, close it up now.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes a very sad and controversial episode of The Death Alive.
Right. All right. In the bit we have to go, boys, the chart this week, I went and found an ARIA chart from 1999. And instead of doing the first 40, which, you know, would have been just a whole lot of rubbish, I thought, well, delve into it a little further and we'll get to numbers 41 to 80 out of this ARIA Top 100 chart from 1999. These are an interesting bunch of songs. I'm happy to lead off with this one because I've got a song in this that there's only three songs in this that I would put on it. If I had a jukebox in my house and I had three, you know, there were a few vacancies, only three songs from this would make it onto that jukebox.
If you had a jukebox in your house, it would have been stolen.
It would have been, yes.
Might have kept you King of Pop Award.
Yeah, might not. Why you'd want to knock off my King of Pop Award is just beyond me. It's got my bloody name on it. It's
who ran second that year? He's a suspect.
I don't know because they never released the runners-up. And I don't think
Carl Van Est, we need to go in here.
It was for Queens. Was for Queensland. It was when I was in Queensland in 1977.
Carl was up at surface for a while. Okay, I'll talk to him.
This I reckon this is a great song. It's number 73 on this chart. It's "You Get What You Give" by the New Radicals. I love it. I reckon it's a great song. They only had sort of 1.5 hits, but this is a song that Joni Mitchell said. When it was released, when she heard it, she said, this rises the swamp of McMusic. She referred to all the songs in the 1990s as McMusic. She said, this rises from the swamp of McMusic like a flame of hope. So impressed where she was. Go. Edge from U2 said that he wished he'd written it because he thought it was that good a song.
Well, I did. I had a song called "What You Give Is What You Get."
Right.
It was the name of my second album. She obviously heard it, loved it, and just re-changed the words.
All right. Well, the New Radicals wrote it and recorded it. And
after they heard "What You Give Is What You Get," they wrote "What You Get Is What You Give." It's a lazy song.
Get What You Give. Yeah, okay. It's a good song. I like it a lot. I think it's a really good song. Brian, you won't like this, but it was actually the song that was used in the Biden-Harris inauguration. It was one of the flag songs of Joe Biden's inauguration.
Oh, I know the one. Here comes an incompetent incognito dickhead. That's the one?
No. Different one.
Well, here's the deal, man.
I thought his inauguration song was "Rock-a-bye, baby." About break the baby.
And then they played "Welcome to My Nightmare."
You could play that for any political party, any political leader in any country in the world.
Not any political party. Yes,
thank you.
We're making America great. We're not making a nightmare.
And my other two good songs out of this one are both Randy Bachman has a hand in both of these. One he wrote called "American Woman," which was a hit on this chart by Lenny Kravitz when he covered the Guess Who song, which Randy Bachman had written with Burton Cummings. And the other one is Tal Bachman, who Randy Bachman fathered with "She's So High." So they're my three little gems from this chart from the second half of this chart from 1999, which has some really dodgy stuff on it. Findy, what did you pick out of this conglomerate?
Well, the chart does remind me of one of my favourite actors, Slim Pickens.
Yes, it's certainly that. It is. What did you like?
A couple of not bad songs. I mean, I'm a mild Red Hot Chili Peppers fan. I'm not a huge fan, because I find a lot of their songs similar, but actually Scar Tissue is pared back a bit. So it was the first hit from, I think, their seventh album, apparently. And it did very well in the States. Didn't do brilliantly here, but got to number one in important markets such as New Zealand and Iceland.
Is that right?
You need that Iceland market, otherwise you're nobody.
Ray Chivik, off you go.
But interestingly, Eric Clyden, the lead singer, his biography or autobiography is called Scar Tissue. And, you know, he's had a battle with heroin addiction during his life, etc. Oh, yeah. So obviously a song that means a lot to him.
Yep.
And a title that meant a lot to him. So that's Scar Tissue, which I like.
Mm-hmm.
And the other song that I like, I've got reservations about this guy because he was a bit too over the top. You know, he's a singer turned actor. But actually, I reckon it's a really good song. It's Baby Did a Bad, Bad Thing.
Chris Isaak, yeah.
Yeah. But
Baby Did a Bad, Bad Thing.
Yeah, I like that song.
And it's interesting because he sings Baby Did a Bad, Bad Thing in that deep voice, and then the body of the song is almost in falsetto.
Yeah, he sings a lot in falsetto.
But it's a song that was written and released in 1995 and didn't really ripple in the charts till 1999 because it featured in that movie by Stanley Kubrick. What's that movie with?
Eyes Wide Shut.
Eyes Wide Shut with Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise.
Film Quite Shit, I think, was the other title.
Well, I mean, Kubrick's the greatest movie maker of all time. He is
Clockwork Orange.
Well, his ability to make brilliant movies in different genres is absolutely unprecedented.
Space Odyssey?
Space Odyssey, yep. Science fiction, my Clockwork Orange, which was a dystopian future movie.
Yep.
My number one movie of all time, Dr. Strangelove, which is a comedy based on the end of the world, which is very
Peter
real.
Sellers, yes.
Brilliant at the time. What's it called? The one of the greatest horror movies of all time, The Shining.
Oh, is that his? Oh, wow. Yeah.
All these different genres, you know, and he wrote and directed these amazing movies. Eyes Wide Shut was crap, but that's anyhow. So it's just how, you know, that's just how the marbles fell, unfortunately.
Yep.
So that movie, that song got prominence from that movie, which is interesting because his other big hit what's his other big hit?
Wicked Game.
Wicked Game. And that was another one that got released and didn't do anything particularly brilliant until it was in a movie. And you can speak, Brian. I'll tell you the movie in a second.
And Brian, what are your two songs? We're tight for time.
Well, Kev, I'm going to say, quite frankly, I looked at this chart and I just thought it was a celebration of mediocrity.
Don't disagree.
There's not anything I particularly hate here, but it's just.
Really?
You Drive Me Crazy by Britney Spears. Well, I'm thinking You Drive Me Crazy. Drive Me by Fine Young Cannibals. Okay. Lullaby. Okay, that's not bad.
I didn't mind that.
But everything here is just like Muzak. It's like it's still got a hangover from the 80s, but it's just the record companies and the committees are taking over. And I would say that there is not one great song on this particular chart.
Okay.
American Woman, probably, yeah, okay, great. But, you know, I Want You Back by NSYNC, yeah, probably a very well-produced song.
Sound like another 20 others.
Yeah, but compared to the rest of the rubbish, it's just, look, I'd rather my vibe with art is it needs to be absolutely great or it needs to be freaking shit. And you just take it, you know, you go, oh, fuck it, I'm going Rock Lobster with this. You know, like, I don't care what other people think, I'm doing my thing. But it's either going to be great or that. And this is a whole bunch of people trying to please everybody and have a hit single, and none of them got above a 7. So
right. We're going to the news in a tick. Finally, what was the film?
Wild at Heart.
Mickey Rourke.
Yeah.
Good film.
Yeah. And he's performing out here very soon, Chris Isaac. I think he's doing Down the Green.
I saw a poster for him.
Yeah, he's doing Down the Green very soon.
And he's been doing his drama for quite some time. I think they're a couple. And good luck to them. I wish them well.
Thank you very much, Brian. And on that note, we'll go. That is the news. No, that wasn't the news. This is the news. Good night, boys.
Good night.
Yes, my lady.
You've just experienced Ruck and Roll. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Facebook.